G'day. How you doing? How are you guys going, mate? It's a Sunday afternoon. This is episode number 153 of the Average Man Podcast. So I skipped last week's episode. I probably could have made the time on the Saturday, but I didn't. We went to Karratha on the Sunday instead. And sold that caravan, man. So for any of the long-time listeners, you'd know that we had the old caravan we bought when we sold the camper trailer. And then I bought the new caravan sort of late last year. It was a big thing. I was searching for caravans for ages, became a caravan expert, and finally purchased one last October. And then I've been trying to get rid of the old van since then, which was a 1978 Franklin, which was a cute little van, and it had done some work in it. It had had some work done in it over the years, but you know, it was only on 240 volt power. It had no batteries, mains water. I think it had a small tank on it, but it was just a means to an end. While we were looking for the new caravan, we took it to Broome a few times, and we took it to 80 Mile Beach once as well. And it was good for what we needed. It was great for a period of time, but you know, I never loved it. It was nice being able to pull up somewhere and have somewhere to sleep and have, you know, if you had power, you had a fridge and somewhere to cook and all that sort of jazz easily without setting up a camper trailer. But I was always waiting to get the off-road van. And as soon as I got the off-road van and brought it home, it just became more and more urgent in the back of my mind to get rid of this other caravan that was sitting there, because like, I don't like having things sitting around my yard, especially for all the people who live in the Pilbara or who have lived in the Pilbara. You know what it's like, man. You can't have shit sitting around because it won't last. I got bats that shit on everything that it's in my yard. So you get bat shit on the paint. You know, you get things rust out and get corrosion. Paint fades. Things just break. Rubber tires like deteriorate. It's just a harsh climate up here. Cars, if you have cars, you're not driving them, the seals go on them and shit like that. You just got to use it or really lose it up here. Like, that really is, that saying really does hit home up here. So it's stressing me out having it sitting there. And in my mind, every month that it sits there, it devalues, even though it's a 1978 caravan. Like, in one way, it's not true. It's already like a vintage, but it was really neat when we got it, and it's getting worn again the longer we have it, you know. And I don't want to spend my fucking weekends fixing up an old fucking caravan, putting an aircon on it. I did a bunch of bits and pieces, fixed all the windows that didn't work properly and shit when we bought it, that the people we bought it off never mentioned to us. So, you know, put it up and got rid of it, and it's kind of like, it was a bit stressful getting rid of that thing, because you know that what I paid for it and the condition I got it in and the little bits and pieces that were wrong with it, and you want to do the right thing and be very upfront and honest with people when you're selling things. But at the same time, you can't go listing all the bits and pieces that are broken on a 40-year-old caravan. What is it? 78, so 88, 98, 2008, and 18. So 45-year-old caravan. Yeah, you know, it's you just, that's not a good idea. It's a long list. So, you know, that was kind of a little bit stressful, just getting rid of the damn thing. And no one who wants to buy, like, it's a particular person wants to buy a caravan like that, you know. And how many of those live in Headland or Karratha? So it was up for sale for like 8 months. Or something, you know, and a few people come around and look at it, but really it was super quiet. And we had it up for too much money at first, for sure. The missus had delusions of selling it for more than what it was worth. You can get that money for them if the right person wants, like, if the right person sees them. Like, if you're in an area, like a city, where there's people and they collect vans and do them up and stuff, because it is a vintage van that there's obviously less and less on those on the road every year. And it was nice and tidy, straight. The body was all straight and everything like that. And, you know, it was very neat. But, you know, how many of those people are here? There's people just want a caravan. A lot of people wanted it to, like, for accommodation to park up at their house. They don't really care that it's a vintage thing. It looks kind of cool, and that's as far as they go down the rabbit hole with it. So we were asking too much money. I knew that. The missus had to be shown that through the passage of time. And then what we had it up for. Secondly, was still a bit of a stretch, but, you know, I probably could have got it if we pushed for it, and what I had in my mind was pretty much what we got for it. So I was happy with that, man, and to see it gone. What the deal was, the dude was driving from Exmouth and I had to drive it down to Karratha to him to drop it off because he didn't want to come all the way from Exmouth to Headland and back in one day. And it was like, okay, cool, we'll get out for the weekend, drive the caravan down there, just get rid of it, get it out of my yard, man. Like he was buying it sight unseen as well. So I didn't even have to deal with the guy. I didn't have to haggle and walk around and go, oh, what about this little thing here? What about that little thing there? As I said, it's a 45-year-old caravan. So let's not open up the can of worms of the small things that are wrong with it. Like, fuck me. It's not a brand new caravan, I'm selling you. You know, it is what it is. So that was good. I didn't have to deal with the dude. I drove it down there, dropped it off. He transferred the money through to me. Very, very trustworthy guy. Like, he was a very trusting guy, which makes him very trustworthy in my mind. So that was easy. And so happy to get rid of it, man. So that was Sunday last week. Stoked to get rid of the bloody thing. And yeah, obviously Sunday's the day I normally do my podcast on. So I kind of lost the chance to do it then. And yeah, I definitely could have made time on the Saturday, but I was a bit, you know, I was stressed with the array. Not stressed, but I was concerned or consumed is a better term, consumed with the arrangements of getting the van that hadn't driven for, I don't know, 10 months or something, ready to do a trip down to Karratha and make sure it was sail ready, essentially. You had to change a tyre on it and change a jockey wheel on it and do a few bits and pieces, yeah, to get the bloody thing moving and out of here. So that was last weekend. And the weekend before that I did a podcast. It was an interview with Brooke Newson, the sprint car driver. She drives sprint car and can I remember the name of them all? She drives sprint car and Formula 500 and what's the little cart's called? I'm blanking on it. Some other one, a smaller cart. She's doing less and less of now. Fuck, I can't believe I've blanked on that already. That's my memory for you guys. It's a very small amount of space inside my brain for new information. And even when I do take in new information, like I'm pushing something else out the back door. That's how my brain works. And that other piece of information is already gone. But yeah, she drives at Speedway. And that was cool, man. Brooke was interesting because as we spoke about during that interview, and it kind of was more of an interview than a conversation, a lot to make a more of a conversation. That one was probably more of an interview. I'll get into that in a minute. But yeah, she popped up on my Instagram feed, and you know she stands out. She's a female who races sprint cars. She's you know very well spoken, well presented. Well, she doesn't speak much on her social media. She does a lot of reels and stuff, but she's got really good marketing. She's obviously got a bunch of great sponsors, you know. And she's a good looking female, which is different to what the stereotype of a racing car or a sprint car driver is. So yeah, I thought that's interesting. That's the kind of stuff I'm into. Something that's a little bit different. And her passion for what she does stands through on her social media, which was the big thing for me. It's like, this chick loves what she does, man. It seems infectious. I want to get her on and talk to her. So we arranged it and we did it via Zoom, and Brooke was great. Brooke's engagement and her enthusiasm and her willingness to chat and go, you know, deep dive on certain subjects and everything was great. I think we spoke for an hour and 20 minutes. So that was fine. That's something sometimes with guests, you never know if they're going to be chatty, if they're going to be shy, if they're going to open up, if you're going to have to sort of carry it a fair bit. You don't know. Brooke was easy. She's good at these things, right? It was me that let myself down in that podcast, and I listened back to it. It was so cringy for me. It was a really hard listen. I just dropped the ball on it, you know. And I suppose you're going to have those kind of podcasts, and it's a learning experience. But I was upset that it was that one, and I can't. And there's a few reasons, I suppose. I know I was hungover. I had too many drinks the night before around the fire, and woke up a bit dusty and just couldn't shake it. I was actually still feeling seedy at like 6 o'clock that night. One of those hangovers. And I didn't go crazy. I wasn't up just smashing drinks all night, but I was on the tequila, and I guess I had one or two too many, and stayed up a bit late and just hung around. I felt a bit seedy the next day, so I had that playing in the back of my mind. And I know nothing about Speedway. I'm not a car dude at all. So while I was talking to Brooke, I kept realizing I don't know the right words to say. Like, I don't know the terminology. I don't want to sound like an idiot. And that mixed with the fact that I was a bit crusty and slow off the mark. And, you know, just a bit nervous, I suppose I was. I couldn't get comfortable. So I listening back to that podcast and there's like, I feel awkward listening to it. I felt very slow. Just didn't make it. My job as the podcast host is if I'm talking to someone, interviewing someone, having a chat with someone, I want it to just be a chat. Is I got to make it comfortable. I need to set the pace. I need to keep the conversation flowing. I need to, you know, that's my job. It's their job is to just to talk about what they're interested in and you know, answer the questions, I suppose. And I didn't do that, man. It was just clunky and awkward. And for me, it was really hard to listen to. It was poor sound. So I, moving forward, I probably need to speak to the Zoom guest if we're doing an interview or a podcast via Zoom. I probably need to speak to them about being not in a room with a high echo point. I've done a few of these now, like the most recent ones with Dr. Matty Moore. He's got a good sound over his Zoom. He's in probably a smaller room, perhaps carpeted. I'm not sure what his setup is, but it sounds good. The room that Brooke was in was a bit echoey, and then I just did a poor job of getting rid of that. You can play around with that and get that sound out of there. I'm not a master at production, though. You know, I'm a podcaster, I'm a podcast host. I'm working on my skills of how to do these interviews correctly and have a good, flowing, interesting conversation, entertain you people listening at the same time as being, you know, true to things that are important to me. And part of that is figuring out the nuts and bolts of recording and producing and getting things out there with a reasonable level of quality. I've bought some good quality recording gear and learnt the basics of editing and producing, but I'm no wizard, I'm no gun, and I just wasn't able to fix the sound on that. I know someone with a bit of knowledge would have done it quite easily. That ain't me, man. So the sound was kind of shit. From her microphone, and she's the main reason I'm doing the podcast is to hear her point of view. So that kind of stressed me out a bit, and it just and it had good engagement too. A fair few people listened to it and liked it, and because she's got a big following on social media, so I was just like, what an opportunity wasted. I was pretty down on myself about that. I wanted to come back last week and hit it strong and bounce back, and then I didn't do that either. So here's me failing. Putting failures on top of failures and trying to rewrite the train now, this week. I really want to finish the second half of this year strong as far as podcasting regularly and doing good quality giving good quality content. I want to finish strong as far as the podcast goes, but as far as also in social media engagement, so my Instagram and my Facebook, which I've completely neglected, which is crazy. I've neglected my Facebook because I don't use it personally, yet I think it's still a good tool as far as, you know, the podcast goes, because a lot of people still use it. I get good engagement on my Facebook, and I don't even use it. It's just like Instagram auto shares certain things to Facebook, and it gets good engagement. And I've got more followers on Facebook than I do on Instagram, which is nuts, because I've been working on my Instagram page for like a year and a half, 2 years, and I just can't boost the numbers. I know there's like certain things you're supposed to do and methods you're supposed to employ to drum your numbers up, but I just really want to do it like authentically. I want people to follow me because they are interested in what I'm doing, and they want them to follow me, not like a projection of myself that I'm doing just to get the numbers up. I have started doing some tactics, like trying to play more reels, more memes, and just trying to get the casual person to go, oh yeah, that's funny, and then perhaps come over and click the follow button as well, because I do believe that more Instagram followers will result in more podcast listeners. But it's been a hard slog, so I need to really push the button on that one, or push the envelope on that one, and finish the year strong. I've got a goal in mind I want to hit. I don't know if it's reasonable to hit that this year. I thought I'd hit it last year, and I'm nowhere near it. But I'm going to work for it, man. So part of that is I'm going to ask this. This is a call to arms, right, for podcast listeners. If you listen to my podcast, you like what I do, you appreciate the time and energy and effort that I put in to try and make good quality content, then do me a solid, right? And I don't ask much of people. I'm not that kind of guy. I always feel uncomfortable, but I'm asking this of people who are listening to this now. If you enjoy what I do and you think I'm worth it, do me a solid, right? Everybody listening, can you, if everybody listens, asks 10 people, whether probably you just ask them over social media, it would be the easiest way to do it. If you ask 10 people you know to go and follow the Average Man podcast Instagram page, that would be a huge boost. It would make a huge impact to my followers, right? If everyone listening asks 10 people to, and like push it, go, come on, this is the dude. I've been listening to his podcast for a while, man. He's working hard. He's trying to boost his Instagram page to help get more listeners. Go over, check it out, Average Man Podcast. I put funny shit up there. I put reels up there. I try and post something every day. Recently, I'm back on that train. So I believe there's a value in following me and the content I'm putting out. I'm trying to make people laugh and be positive and be honest and real and all that sort of shit. So if you get 10 people each to go, click fucking follow, it's the easiest thing in the world, and I'm willing to work for it, then that will make a massive boost to my followers. And I really believe that more Instagram followers equals more podcast listeners, which is the whole end game. The whole name of the game is to just keep growing the podcast. Everything else I do outside of that is aimed at growing listeners, listener base for the podcast. So that would mean heaps to me if you people could do that for me. That would be massive. 10 people each, you know, whoever listens to this episode, we could really boost my numbers over the next couple of weeks. That'd be mad. That'd be amazing. And with that sort of promise to, it wasn't a promise, but I'm making a promise now, to finish the second half of the year strong, there's some big news I've got coming up next week. I'm gonna drop the nugget next week on some big news for me and the family that I'm pretty excited / nervous about. And I've been sitting on this puppy for a while, so I'm really excited that it's time to let the cat out of the bag and to drop the news, the bombshell. And I'm also nervous about certain things that are going to take place over the course of the next week and even moving into the future as a result of that information. So watch this bloody space, mate. I'm bloody excited about that. Sort of, you know, 40 this year. It's time to shake up the can a little bit, I guess. 40 in September. And I said a couple of weeks back, right, on the podcast that I'm in better shape now than 21-year-old me, right? Which is true, but boy, am I sore. Boy, am I sore, man. 21-year-old me was not sore. 21-year-old me could fall off a building and fucking bounce back the next day and be out doing the damn thing again. I'm in better shape now than I've ever been in my life. I think I made the analogy a few weeks back about if I had a car that was 20 years old and it was in better shape now than it was when I first got it, that would be amazing. After the miles I've put in it and the burnouts I've done in it and the shitty fuel I've put in it and the random people I've let drive it around and all this other shit, the crashes I've had, I've fucking slept out the front of it and on the curb with the keys in the ignition, all this stuff, right? And it's in better condition than it was when I got it, and that's an achievement. But boy, am I sore, boy. It's not for nothing. I'll give you the tip. Being 39, I'm refraining from calling myself 40. When I was 38, I was calling myself 39. I'd already ripped myself off. But now there's like a line I'm not willing to cross. I'm 40 in September, but I'm 39 as fuck, man. I am 39 as fuck. You don't get much more 39 than I am right now. There's only a few months worth of more 39-ness than I'm exhibiting right now. So to be in good shape, COVID scared the fuck out of me, scared me into the best shape of my life. And I think that COVID chasing my ass and 40 coming at me from the other side was like, boy, dude, you need to get, I'll try and stop saying boy, that keeps just rolling off the tongue. Dude, I was scared into getting in the best shape of my life, and My body feels it, man. It's like the brain, the mind, the general energy levels, the clarity of thought, all that stuff is indicative of someone that's healthy and in the best shape of their life. But the joints and the muscles and just the aches is like indicative of someone that's just flogging their body. Man, I am fucking sore. Chatting to someone at the gym the other morning and said, oh man, I'm feeling sore. And they're like, oh no, I wonder what we do it for, hey? I said, I know. We spend all this time and energy coming here and working our asses off just to feel like shit. And it's a little bit like that sometimes. I am pushing quite hard at the moment though. You don't need to go as hard as I am. But as I said, man, I'm already in the best shape of my life. I may as well just see how far I can push this thing before it tips over the edge. So that's what I'm doing at the moment. But your man here is sore, dude. The joints, especially the elbows and the shoulders. And the back's good. The lower back's good. The knees are pretty good. It really is the wrists, elbows, shoulders that are sore. So, you know, only the things you use all day, every day. Enough of that, but mate, I haven't done a whole lot of camping this season. And by not a whole lot of, I mean none. I haven't done any camping this season. I look forward to this time of year for so long. I haven't done any camping yet. We've definitely got some plans on the horizon. But we have had campfires at home. I've had about 3 or 4 campfires at home. Had one last night. Kind of got rained out though. Got rained out about 9 o'clock. This was like not heavy rain, but it was just constant enough spitting to kind of ruin the fire vibe, and we packed that up. But yeah, dude, I've been sitting around the campfire, having a tequila on ice, been smoking been smoking like a cigar with my tequila around the fire. That's nice, man, having a nice cigar. I'm through all the barley ones. And the issue I came across last night was I bought one online from a place, Devlin's in Perth. Bought a cigar. It was way smaller than I thought. I thought it was going to be like 5 or 6 inch ones. Like I was smoking from Bali. It was like 3 inches or something, a little stubby kind of thing. And I think it was too strong for me. Yeah. Like, because I know nothing about cigars, really, really amateur. And the ones I bought in Bali were beautiful. They must have been really mild. They were like creamy and mild and nice. And this one I bought, it didn't taste like harsh. It wasn't like it hurt my throat or anything like that. But I got a head spin near the end of it and I kind of felt nauseous afterwards. Ended up going to bed feeling nauseous. And I woke up this morning, I could still taste the cigar. I still felt a bit nauseous. It just hung around. I was like, oh man, I think that was probably they come in like rated in dots. I think up to like a 5 is the strongest sort of cigar you get. I think it was like a 3, 2 or 3. So I've now learned that I'm probably more like a 1 dot kind of guy. Just really ease yourself into it. It's a lot of nicotine, I suppose. And it was, again, not hard to smoke, but it didn't taste nice either. It was kind of a little bit bitter to me, where the other ones I've tasted have been smooth, mild, kind of creamy, almost, yeah, nice, a nice taste to them. And I didn't get sick, I didn't get a headache, and they were twice the size of this bloody thing. So it was definitely too strong for me. I need to reel it back, buy myself like a real mild cigar next time around, because that was a bit gross. Yeah, I just love sitting around, especially around the fire, having a drink, having a smoke cigar. It reminds me of the days back when I used to smoke joints flat out. I used to smoke a lot of weed, 10 plus years ago. I would have a joint hanging out my mouth all the time. If I wasn't at work, there was a point in time where I used to leave work and I'd get a joint straight out the ashtray and light it up and be smoking on the way home, and I'd have 4 or 5 every single night. I'd smoke half an ounce of weed on the weekend, just joints, boom, 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 boom. And the one thing I don't miss being completely stoned out my brain all the time, though I enjoyed it at the time. It's not for me right now. But I enjoy smoking the joint, sitting there, especially when you're having a drink and a chat, with a joint to smoke on. I miss that, man. So the cigar gives you that. You sit there and still learning how to drag it and not inhale it, because that'll fuck you up. So, yeah, a lot to learn in the world of cigars, enjoying it. Fucked myself up last night, so that's a lesson learned. Peel it right back to a 1 dot, I think, for the next sojourn into the world of cigars. But yeah, it was good, man. There's the simple things in life, you know? those simple little pleasures you have to really, you have to really embrace, because life can be a drag sometimes, huh? It can really be a drag sometimes. Does anybody else feel like we're doing life wrong? You know, man? Like, how much energy and time are we putting into jobs that we either, some people are doing jobs they hate. That's not me. Some people are doing jobs they don't like. Some people are just doing jobs that they just don't love. That's still a lot of time to spend on something you don't love. How much energy are you going to pump into something that you're not 100% in on? You know what I mean, man? That's a lot of time and a lot of energy. And if you're not 100% in, how well can you really do your job, you know? I mean, something that I love, I'll go all the way for. Pull out all my resources, lay it all on the table. If I love it, man, I'm all in. It's hard to do that for something that is just your job. So that's someone else's passion, someone else's dream, man, you know? You know that old saying, I think it's from Fight Club, we're working jobs we hate to buy things we don't need to impress people we don't like. Do you guys like ever really think about that? You know, are we doing that, man? Are we spending our life doing that? Like, this is our life, man. You get one shot, you know, you get one take at the whole thing. And I've fucked up some scenes in my life. I've squandered some scenes in my life, man. I've done them wrong. I've done bad things. I've wasted time. I've not been present. Like, I'm 40 this year, man. How much longer am I going to spend phoning in life? Do you know what I mean? And like, when you get to the things, you get the opportunities to do the things you love and spend the time with the people you want to spend your time with, and you're spent. Do you know what I mean? Like, you're just recovering mentally, emotionally, physically. You're just recovering to go do it all again. And then you get your time, you know, hanging for your Friday afternoon. Yes, how many days do we spend a week hanging for Friday afternoon? And then how often, as you get older, when you're younger, I suppose you do, but as you get older, how often do you really have the energy to go and execute what you want to do on your Friday afternoon, Saturday, Sunday, before you got to go back and do it all again the next week? You know, man, it's a fucking lot of work. It's a lot of time. It's a lot of effort, man. It's a lot of us doing it, huh? And then we numb ourselves with alcohol, with drugs, and with social media, and with other vices. Everyone's got a vice, things we do to numb ourselves because we're kind of dissatisfied. It's fucking, and while we're doing this, man, like, the days tick over, the weeks go by, the months click over, and life is going, life's happening, man. Life's going past us. I quite often feel like I'm not living life, man. Like, I'm alive, but I'm on someone else's raft, you know, just paddling. I don't know where the fuck this thing's going, but I got told to paddle, so I'm just paddling, you know. I'm working because I need the money to support my family. I had a family because I had dreams I wanted to realize, and I don't have energy to put into those dreams. I'm just surviving, and I just don't know if we're doing it the right way, man. And when I say I don't know if we're doing it the right way, I'm actually quite certain, for me at least, that I'm not. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like it's time for me to to make a choice to throw the script away and follow my heart, man. You know what I mean? This comes back to the big news I've got for you guys next week. I'm going to remain cryptic this week because there's some business to take care of first. But I don't know about you, man. I'm working a job that leaves me stressed. Very stressed. So serious. I have to be so serious all the time. And then people have to take me serious. So I can't be myself around those people because they need to take me seriously. I can't be continually reminding them that I'm serious and this is a serious job. You need to take me seriously. So I just stay in character all the time. You know what I mean? Fucking people don't know anything about me. You know? And it takes me days to switch off. You know, and I've got this unfulfilled, nagging voice in the back of my head that's just chirping, chirping, chirping. It's always been there. Managed to quieten it over the years at certain times. It's getting louder and louder and louder and louder. And I don't know how long I can continue to ignore it, mate. I've been thinking about these things lately, you know. I've been thinking about this sort of stuff. I've been writing about this sort of stuff as well, trying to get the feelings out and on paper, clear my head a little bit. There's a lot that goes into it, mate. I'd like to read something that I wrote in regards to this. I've been doing this a little bit lately, reading some of the stuff I've written down and just sharing it. I suppose I write it to be shared. So I wrote something that I wrote about the voice a few weeks back. So I'd like to read this if you guys will bear with me, and hopefully it's not too heavy, not too deep. But this is just, I don't know. I've been thinking about this stuff. It's rattling around in my head. I'll write it out and I feel a bit clearer afterwards. So maybe this will resonate with some of you guys out there, and I know it makes me uncomfortable sharing these things. Something that you've written, and you know, it's a bit of a window into how my mind works and what my values are and that, I suppose, and who I am. So when something scares me like that, I always feel like it's probably the right thing to do, to read it out, right? Do the things that make you uncomfortable. So here we go. This one's called A Life Half Lived. What the hell is wrong with me? Something's wrong with me. Why can't I find happiness and fulfillment in a normal life? I have a good job, working for a good company, making good money with an opportunity to create a good life. Invest money, buy a house, show my kids the value of hard work and dedication and how you can make something out of nothing from your life, you know. But it's not what I want. What's wrong with me? Am I that narcissistic? Am I that selfish and self-centered that I feel as though a good life isn't enough for me? Because I'm certain of this feeling. It's not some sort of fleeting feeling or phase that I'm going through, some kind of early midlife crisis. This voice has always been in my head, ever since I was a kid. Since as far back as I can remembering. I felt as though there was going to be something extraordinary about my life. And I realize that many people feel that way when they're young. You're young, dumb, full of cum, and you think the world's your oyster. And it is in a lot of ways. But then life starts hitting you with body shots, starts working the legs. You get knocked down. You get knocked out. You get battered and bruised and realize that the path you were on was taking you directly to the middle of nowhere and you course correct. A positive opportunity presents itself when you take it. You begin to make smart, sensible decisions that manifest in more positive opportunities and circumstances becoming available when you realize that the positive decisions you're making are sending your life in a better direction. And that voice in your head, that dream of grandeur, begins to quieten. This isn't so bad. This isn't a wasted life. You might not have the kind of life you dreamed, but you can have a pretty good one. A better life than a hell of a lot of other people. And the voice gets quieter, quieter, quieter. And you head further and further down the path towards a normal, safe, well-planned life. Then you find yourself faced with opportunities to do the things that never really interested you, but that you know will help you to continue to grow. But you have to make some sacrifices, And you're used to making sacrifices by now because you're a good worker, good husband, good father, good friend, good son. It takes sacrifice. So you continue to make sacrifices. Sacrifices continue to continue down a path that you didn't actually imagine or want for yourself, but you do it because you realize the benefit of continuing down this path. So you compromise some more. You know what you need to do, what you need to say, how you need to act to continue making these people happy and proud, to continue to impress. It's like there's two clear roads ahead of you countless times a day, and you know instinctively what the safe, pragmatic, and expected action is and what the wrong action is. So you just continue to make the right decisions, say the right things. Never mind if how it makes you feel or what you want to do. You got a family, you have a job, bosses, people who depend on you and rely on you to continue to live up to their idea of who you are. And it's easy enough for a while. It's easy until you realize that you actually spend more time playing this role, this persona that you've created, than you do just being yourself. It's like you've figured out the hack to continue forward down this road, and it's a foregone conclusion that you'll continue to grow and move forward in this direction. All you have to do is keep saying and doing the right things, whether or not you believe in them, and the show will go on. But as your workload grows and your responsibilities multiply, it begins to take more and more of your energy to keep up the charade. And it's clear to you now that it is a charade. If you were being honest and doing something you love, not just simply something you liked or found satisfying, but something you loved, then you wouldn't need a break from it. But you don't love it. There's no passion in what you do, just duty. How much energy are you willing to spend on your duty when it's clearly not what you love? How many weeks of your life are you willing to spend waiting for Friday afternoon and dreading Monday morning and pretending that you're satisfied with life? So many people live week by week like this that it just seems normal. It's most of what we see. It's most of us. But is it normal? Is it healthy? Or have I fallen for the world's greatest trick just like everybody else has? Have I given up on my dreams, my hopes, my passions just because I told myself I needed to make a certain amount of money and live a certain way? And then there's my kids. I'm teaching this to my kids. The whole time I'm settling for this type of life, I'm teaching my kids to settle for mediocrity and play it safe, to get the job that people expect of them and to try to find happiness between shifts if they can muster the energy to do anything after spending so much time and energy on someone else's dream, someone else's plan, someone else's life. And that's when it hits me. The voice. It's back. The voice I've had in my head since I can first remember, since I first remember remembering. It's back. No, not back. It never went away. It was there. It's always been there in the back of my mind, like an unscratched itch, like a nagging thought that keeps slipping away. Like there was something I was supposed to do but can't remember. It's always been there. I was able to distract myself, to keep busy enough learning and growing and doing the right things. And that's great. That's actually positive. And that's probably how I was supposed to spend the first part of my life. But that time's coming to an end. The voice isn't going away. Yeah. That's the shit that's been going on inside my head. So I don't know, man. Maybe that resonates with some of you. Maybe you think I'm fucking thinking too much. Maybe it's both. But that's how I feel, man. So I'm going to leave you with that. I'll try and get out. I'll try and wrap up with like a joke or something, you know, something funny at the end of these podcasts. But yeah, that's what's on my mind right now, man. So pretty uncomfortable reading that out and sharing it and been about to end the recording and send this off into the ether, out into the world. So we'll see if people like it or not, man. Before I get out of here, but remember the call to arms, please. Come on. I feel you owe me now. I shared something with you that I'm uncomfortable sharing, some of the stuff I've been writing and thinking about. So go hit up, annoy the fuck out of 10 people on your Facebook or your Instagram preferably, and go, hey, find the Average Man podcast page. Just go and click like, man. Just hit like. Don't even have to fucking look at the dude's page. Just hit like. Help me bump those fucking numbers up. I won't disappoint. I'll stay on it. I'll keep posting. I'll keep trying to find cool, funny, interesting, honest things to post there. And let's grow this motherfucker together. All right, appreciate all you, appreciate your time, appreciate you listening, and appreciate the feedback I get as well. Someone, my best mate, recently mentioned that no one can leave comments, can post on my Facebook page, like you can do on your friend's page. You can't do it because it's like an offset of my page, it's like a community page or whatever. I don't know what that's all about. I'm trying to work on that because that would be cool if people could go to the Facebook page and post their own thoughts and everything on there. So I'll work on that. In the meantime, private message me, reply on the pictures and the posts and stuff that I put up, and we can try and get a bit of community engagement and all that, because that's what I want. I want you guys who listen to this to be able to talk to each other as well and engage. So I'm working on that. Appreciate your time. Appreciate listening. Average Man Podcast, episode number 153. That's it. Called Colliding. Yeah, take it easy. Peace.